From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Hands-On Radio Daily News and Weather Report for Wednesday, March 15th, 2017. I'm Philip Gray. Victoria Addison is reporting in the Daily Mail that U.S. Representative John Faso spoke with constituents by phone on Monday, March the 13th. On Monday, the Kinderhook Republican fielded 18 questions from residents of the 19th Congressional District over the internet and telephone from his Washington, D.C. office, said Faso's communications director, Courtney Weaver. Weaver said 3,200 listeners participated in an hour-long teletown meeting. 20,000 district residents were contacted about the call, and approximately 1,200 signed up ahead of time to participate. The main topic of the discussion was health care, Faso said. He said, and I quote, "I think health care was the most prevalent because that's most of the news and I think it's on people's minds," end quote. Faso said information about the call was posted on his website. He said, and I quote, "I did this one after 2 months in office and I will probably do another in 2 months," end quote. Faso has steadfastly refused to hold traditional in-person town hall meetings in the district since joining Congress, even though his predecessors, Chris Gibson and Scott Murphy, held public events in the face of local criticism. You can read that full story in the Daily Mail. Jeanette Wolfberg is reporting in the Columbia paper that Hudson School District officials met March the 2nd to discuss the creation of an official policy to address opioid abuse. The conversation focused on whether to supply the school with Narcan, an emergency antidote for overdoses. The State Department of Health is urging districts to have Narcan available. An important element of the district's proposed policy identified at the meeting was deciding who and under what circumstances would the district authorize the use of the antidote. Of significant concern, how can the policy maximize the opportunity to revive someone who has overdosed while minimizing the chance of a lawsuit? A school nurse in attendance said nurses should not have to spend their time testifying in court. Michael Needleman, the district's risk management consultant, recommended creating a program with a medical director and a program director for tasks such as completing paperwork and ordering the Narcan kits. The district opioid abuse policy continues under development. You can read that full story in the Columbia paper. The Hudson Opera House has been renamed Henry Hudson Hall. The announcement was made at HudsonOperaHouse.org on Monday, March 13th. The name change accompanied the completion of the final phase of the venue's major restoration project and the opening of its historic second floor theater. Gary Shiro, executive director of Henry Hudson Hall, said, and I quote, "This is a defining moment in the life of this treasured building and this organization. The energy and momentum brought on by the restoration project and the exciting new possibilities it presents in terms of programming demanded we address misrepresentations about the building and especially our name," end quote. Shiro said the venue's identity as an opera house was limiting when reaching out to new audiences. Said Shiro, and I quote, "The two most prominent names in the history of the building, City Hall and the Hudson Opera House, are both equally misleading," end quote. The building, located in the 300 block of Warren Street, was designed by architect Peter Avery and was built in 1855 as Hudson's City Hall. The building also housed the bank, the police station, post office, and library, in addition to the second floor theater over the years. The full announcement can be found at HudsonOperaHouse.org. Amanda Fries reports in the Albany Times-Union that the Albany County Legislature voted 21-16 with one abstention against a bill that would have expanded the county's ban on foam products. In 2014, the county banned pyrostyrene, commonly known as styrofoam, in chain food establishments only. The bill would have included all food service businesses inspected by the Albany County Health Department, but not to raw meat, poultry, or seafood sold in grocery stores packaged in foam. Over 100 business owners submitted letters and petitions in opposing the measure, and over 1,700 county residents and about 40 local businesses submitted petitions in favor of the bill. You can read that full story in the Albany Times-Union. The Mid-Hudson News Network and the Daily Freeman are reporting that the Newburgh City Council on March the 13th declared the city a fair and welcoming city. a sort of sanctuary city for immigrants. In January, the city of Kingston declared itself a sanctuary city, and the town of New Platts last week drafted a similar proposal that would limit town cooperation with U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement officials. Councilwoman Karen Meehan said the language of fair and welcoming city was a deliberate attempt to avoid defunding by the Trump administration. She said, and I quote, "We will enforce the law around criminal immigration deportation cases, but everything else we're leaving. We have the option to do it according to the Attorney General's guidelines, and we're following those," end quote. You can read that full story in the Daily Freeman. The Daily Freeman reports that unemployment rates in Greene County fell slightly and stayed the same in much of the rest of the area from January 2016 to January 2017. The State Department of Labor announced the figures on March the 14th, with the jobless rates in Dutchess, Orange, and Columbia counties were the same this January as last, 4.5% in Dutchess and Orange, and 4.3% in Columbia County. In Ulster County, the rate went up slightly from 4.8% to 5%. Greene County's unemployment rate fell from 5.8% in January 2016 to 5.6% in January 2017. Statewide, the jobless rate in January was 5.1%, down from 5.3% in January 2016. You can read that full story in the Daily Freeman. Lisa Harris at the Watershed Post reports that there will be less journalism in the Hudson Valley as the website continues to produce less news. In November 2016, Harris's wife and business partner Julia Rochelle pulled out of the project, and now Harris says she will pursue other work. Harris says she will keep the website going with only sporadic posts. Harris writes, and I quote, "I've decided the only path that makes sense for us is to let go of our mission of frequent, regular community news," end quote. The blog began in 2010 and built a large online audience after exhaustive coverage of area damage from the storm associated with Hurricane Irene. You can read that full story in the Watershed Post. And now for the weather. The National Weather Service in Albany has issued a winter weather advisory through 8 p.m. today, Wednesday, in the Berkshires, Southeast Catskills, and Southern Taconics. Gusty winds, blowing snow, and occasional falling snow are expected, bringing additional snow accumulations, drifting snow, and poor visibility at times. It will be cloudy today with a temperature high near 26 degrees. The wind chill values could be as low as minus 3 degrees. For Wednesday night, a continued chance of snow showers, mainly before 1 a.m. It will be mostly cloudy with a low around 14. The forecast for the next 2 days. Well, on Thursday, partly sunny with a high near 28 degrees. Thursday night, partly cloudy with a low around 13. And on Friday, sunny with a high near 34 degrees. Friday night, snow is likely, mainly after 2 a.m. It will be mostly cloudy with a low around 19. Sunrise today was at 7.05 a.m., and the sun will set at 7.02 p.m. That will give us 11 hours and 57 minutes of daylight, 2 minutes more than yesterday. And that wraps up the WGXC Hands-On Radio Daily News and Weather Report for today, Wednesday, the 15th day of March, 2017. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day and a pleasant tomorrow.